Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
You want to be people who follow Jesus in the drought and the rain, amen?
Amen.
Interesting. Anyways, FAU. Diane has been leading our ministry at FAU. I'd like to just get a report real quick, if we could, from you on what's happening there.
Okay.
She had no idea I was calling her up here for that, but, you know,
it's good.
When you're a licensed minister, it is what it is, right?
FAU, well, as some of you may know, we started Firestarters on campus. And we have a couple of students that came out, and God's honestly really answering my prayer over Firestarters is that he would add key leaders. He would add people that he's drawing into doing something. So I believe that right now we're setting a foundation of what God's going to do on that campus and more what he's going to do within the college students, young adults in this city. So I feel like there's a couple of people in there that I feel like God is going to do a life change in them.
Absolutely.
And he's going to use them to set a fire on that campus. So I'm really excited. I'm seeing they're adults. And I'm seeing them make the decision to say, you know what, I'm going to do this class, and I'm just going to trust God to do what he's going to do. So
Amen.
I really feel like it's going to be a good foundation.
Yeah, so if you keep us in prayer for that, just that God would do what he wants to do, and that we would continue to get favor,
Amen.
And God would continue to add to it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Thank you, Diane. Good for Diane, please.
Thank you,
Pastor. You rock, Diane. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Acts. Huh. Mike and Lillian, great job this morning, and the rest of the worship team. I don't know if you know what it takes to carry that anointing week in and week out. It's work, you know. People say, "Oh, it's all grace," until you try to actually do something. The people who say that aren't actually doing anything normally. Oh, it's just all grace. They just walk with Jesus like tiptoeing through the tulips. Yeah, and then you go to do something, and you find out it takes work. And not as many people sign up for the work. And I just want to thank you, too, for carrying that. It'd be easy to just get up here and be religious. Very little opposition in being religious, except from God, I guess.
Take some work.
Hallelujah. We're in an interesting season. David Copeland's coming next week, as my wife spoke about. It's important to understand who he's been in this house. When David Copeland's been a voice in my life since before there was a church. And when we started, he was pretty much the only person in our corner. He was really the only person who believed in us and what we would accomplish. And so many people were telling us, you know, what we should do to align with other people who had a completely different vision. And he just really believed in us. And he would just speak into my life and speak into the life of this house. And for a long time, he was the only covering before we aligned with Partners in Harvest. He began a network that really he was kind of feeling his way into. And really his heart has become for Kenya. For a long time, it was Guyana. Then it was back to America. Now it's back to Kenya. And he's doing such a miraculous work in Kenya that their school of ministry there is now Revival Now School of Ministry in Kenya, East Africa. And I don't know if you follow him on Facebook, but he's got, I don't know, 100 or 150 pastors. They're already pastors of churches. They're in his ministry school, getting taught the Word of God and, you know, good doctrine and baptism of the Holy Ghost and how to follow Jesus and how to do the stuff. And he just got back, a week ago? And he's leaving, he's here for a month, and then he goes back to Kenya in December. And I don't know if you know this, but Kenya, like, you don't accidentally get to Kenya. Like, you have to be going there on purpose, not like a layover to somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, and so, you know, like, when he gets to London, he's halfway there. You know? And so, so he's coming next week, and I'm really excited about that. I'm going to be here. We don't have people come in so I can leave town. You know, we don't have guest speakers like, oh, I know pastor's not going to be there that week because there's a guest. No. Actually, when I leave town, we have somebody in-house preach. It's what we've done, right? And so, but when we bring someone in, I'm here to receive. I bring people in to receive. I don't say, well, they can get something from him. No. If somebody, I bring people in because I want to receive from them. And on, we're just going to be family for a little bit. Is that all right? Yeah? Okay, good. We'll be family. So, as you know, John Arnott's coming. I'm trying to reschedule that, believe it or not. I'm trying to get him here earlier. I'm trying to be greedy, if I can be honest with you. John Arnott's supposed to come at the end of a leaders' conference that they're having in South Florida, just for their leadership team. I'm trying to get him to come on the front end of that, so since when Steve Long's in town, we can get him on the back end. I'm just trying to get greedy. I'm just trying to get both. Right now, John Arnott's going to speak the week that Steve Long's going to be in town. And I don't want to say that's a waste. I just want both. All right? And Dan Slade's going to be here the week John Arnott's going to be here. And so he's going to, he'll be here to minister and do what. And so that'll be good. Anya, what day is your wedding on? Is it on a Saturday or Friday or Sunday? Is he supposed to come here that next day? Dan Slade's coming the next day. So this is going to be good. We already scheduled that. Oh, perfect. That's good news, right? Anybody like Dan Slade? We got to have him invite your mom. Maybe they can be fast friends at the wedding and your mom can come to see Dan Slade. Yeah, no? Your family can come, right? Like, if they come from Canada to go to your wedding, the least your family could do in return is come to service. I think that would be good. All right. I'm not rambling. We're family, right? How you doing, Sarah? Sarah's on the ground, still getting whacked. I had an encounter with Jesus during worship, trying to figure out what that has to do with what I'm talking about here and on what level to share. Who had an encounter during worship? Hallelujah. Put your hand up again. If you didn't, you might want to have one of these people pray for you before we leave. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Let's just jump in the Bible, shall we? Now, of course, Acts is a fifth book of the Bible. It actually didn't used to be its own book. It was a continuation of the book of Luke. Luke, of course, was not one of the apostles, was not one of the disciples of Jesus, but he was sent to write of the account of Jesus. He was a doctor, of course, and he wrote his gospel and then on through the book of Acts. And so it was at one time one continuous writing, even though it's clearly disjointed there at the resurrection of Jesus and his ascent, the ascent of Jesus. But we see that in the book of Acts here, if you remember, of course, Acts is titled Acts of the Apostles. Many people call it Acts of the Holy Spirit because really the Holy Ghost that empowered everything the apostles did. But we see on the day of Pentecost, actually before Pentecost, we see the apostles were together obeying Jesus, waiting in Jerusalem for something to happen. And of course, they didn't know what was going to happen. There was no way they could have known what was going to happen. There's no way, as I like to say, there's no way you could read the Old Testament and when you get to the book of Malachi, expect Jesus, right? There's just no way that's what you were expecting, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's no way that's what you're expecting. And he shows up and they didn't know. And then he, of course, was crucified for our sins. He was resurrected. And then we see Jesus. He's in heaven. And then the disciples, can you imagine? They don't have any idea what's going on at this point. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're just like, what do we do now? We don't know what we're supposed to do. And Jesus told them, wait. How many of you know when Jesus says wait, that doesn't mean come up with your own plan? I feel like I could put that in my journal, go home and just lead a better life, right? I could be a better Christ follower. Jesus says wait, that does not mean until something you like comes along or, just come up with your plan or, come up with something that sounds exciting. When Jesus says, wait, you know what that means? Wait. Wait, right? Wait. That's a hard word right there, though, right? Yeah. Kellyanne, that's a hard one, right? Just wait. Wait for what? Until? Oh, he must mean I'm supposed to do this. Oh, look. He told me to be single, but someone cute came along. Clearly, that's my sign that the single period's over. He told me to wait, and then this job came along. I just have to work on Sundays. That's perfect. Yeah, no. That's probably not what he was saying. It's amazing how little work the enemy has to do to distract some people. Have you noticed people get great breakthrough? And then the enemy basically just tempts you with what you desired before you got saved. Couldn't get it your whole life, then you get saved, and then your worldly temptation comes along. Oh, okay. Kids, we were having a devotion last night. We have prayer. We pray. But on Saturday nights, one of the few times of the week that we get together as a family, we worship together. Sometimes we'll read scripture, but more often than not, we sing. And then we just talk about devotion, talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives, talk about maybe one of the messages or chapel from their school. And then we just kind of talk about what Jesus is saying, and we pray. We pray for you. We pray for our family. We pray. We just pray. And we were talking about, we were having a discussion last night about what's it look like to be a Christ follower. And it's amazing how many people are incapable of actually answering this question in a biblical manner. What's it look like to be a follower of Christ? And people will often tell you about things that you are doing externally to quantify your Christ followership. Oh, they go to church and they do their devotions and whatever. And how many of you know you can go to church and not get saved? And there's churches all over Boca that you can go to your whole life and never hear a gospel message. You can go to church your whole life and never have anybody present you the challenge of being a Christ follower. You can go to church your whole life and never have anybody tell you, if you do not choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will not spend eternity with him. You can spend your entire life going to church and never know that Jesus wants to fill you with power. As crazy as that is. You can spend your whole life going to church and not see that there's a baptism of the Spirit that Jesus has for you. He wants to empower you for ministry. You can spend your whole life going to church and not recognize that there is this personal infilling that God has for you. So what's it mean to be a Christ follower? And we're having a conversation. And of course, it starts in the heart. When you become a Christ follower, you every day you wake up with a heart to follow Christ. What's funny about people who don't have a heart to follow Jesus, they think they're fooling somebody. And the problem is, we get the wrong judge. People who hold on to the scripture that says, you can't judge me, they've already set the wrong judge up in their life. I don't need to tell you you can't judge me. I don't care if you judge me or not. Do whatever you want. That's between you and God. Because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he judges my heart. I say it all the time. It doesn't bother me when I hear all kinds of people gossiping about me, because the more they speak my name, the more my anointing is in their life, convicting them. I believe, I'm going to be honest with you, I believe that God keeps me on some people's hearts. He keeps that offense present, so they have to keep my name coming. They're unable to divorce themselves from the anointing in my life by their offense. And so I laugh about it. They said so. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. I'm glad that I'm present in their lives. That's good. I'm glad I'm that significant. Makes me happy. And so I visit them in dreams and whatnot. But we see, we see Jesus here. He tells them, wait in Jerusalem, right? Wait for what? Well, you'll know. Let me tell you what. When Jesus says wait, everybody around you is going to know when the waiting is over. Everybody's going to know. So here we are in Acts chapter 3, okay? We see in Acts chapter 2, there's this outpouring of the Spirit. Now, you got to believe they weren't expecting that. You got to believe they weren't expecting an outpouring of the Spirit. There's no way. I mean, when you look at any kind of time throughout history when this happened, even in a little bit, a couple people would prophesy, right? We know that the King Saul and the anointing, he got with the prophets and he began to prophesy, and that was an amazing outpouring. Or there might be a prophet in a school of prophets, and these people did. You know they weren't expecting this. And so the anointing fell on people, and they got filled with the Spirit, and they began to prophesy in visions and speak scripture, and they were acting drunk, and they didn't know what was happening. Let me give you a sign that you've actually been touched by the Holy Ghost. You're doing stuff you never thought you'd do for God. When he kicks you right out of your comfort zone. And they say, oh, Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Well, he's a pretty violent gentleman, I've found. Get around some people who are actually doing something for Jesus. Get around people who are actually doing something for Jesus and ask them. Have you ever felt like you really had to do something you had no desire to do and you just couldn't escape it? And the answer is yeah. Get around the radical ones. Now, if you're radical and you always look good or you always look great, I'm not interested in your stories because you're powered by pride, right? I'm talking about people who I'm going to call out Travis right here. Travis talks about when the anointing began to work in his life, he had to do a headstand. And what store was that? Publix or something? Where were you doing your headstands? Walmart. And you're like, well, why would Holy Spirit do that? Maybe just to see if he would. Right? He'll have you do stuff that's like, we're just going to make it clear today who you follow. Listen, let me give you an earthly example. If any of you had the misfortune to pledge a fraternity or a sorority, there were times that you had to pledge your allegiance to that group publicly by doing something really stupid. You got to do it publicly. You're going to look like an idiot, but we're all going to like you. You're going to look an idiot to people who aren't in the group, but to us, we'll know you're part of us because we're more important than them, right? That's what you do in fraternities or clubs or gangs or whatever. They're little initiations, right? And so we join Christ and we're like, well, I'm glad, you know, he would never make me do anything that I don't want to do. It requires less to follow Jesus than it does to join a fraternity, really? Really? It takes a lower level of commitment to be sealed for heaven eternally than to buy some friends at college? Really? 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 I think not. And so here they are in a season of killing Christians. And so in the natural, you want to hide. You want to let people not know, right? Now, you would think, now, if Jesus was a little more, if he planned a little bit better, Mike, if he was a little bit more of a strategizer, he would hide people, right? Okay, they're killing the Christians. I'm going to give them a superpower to hide among the crowd. So nobody will know until the perfect time that someone's ready to get saved. And then somebody will walk up to you and do the secret, super spiritual, I want to get saved thing. I think there's something different about you. Will you just tell me what it is? That's the super spiritual witnessing tool. They'll come to me and ask me what's different about me. And so Jesus would hide them so they wouldn't get murdered. And so, yeah, that must be the super secret plan. So he had them hide in a room, right, praying. Like, this is perfect. They won't come and kill us because we're hiding in a room, not bothering anybody. And he pours the Spirit out on them, and he has them go public in the middle of the people who murdered Jesus and act a bloody fool. Looking nothing like the people of Jerusalem. And Jesus is like, I need to know if you're in or out. I need to know if you're in or out. Now, if you're in, you'll understand that this life right here is temporary, and you may die, but you'll be with me forever. Are you in or out? You living for this world or the next? And believe it or not, I don't believe when these people got in the upper room, they knew they were signing up to scream in tongues and look drunk in the middle of Jerusalem. Does anybody think they knew they were signing up for that? Oh, but he's a gentleman. Uh-huh. He's a gentleman who outed you publicly by making you look a fool. Are you with me? When you become a Christ follower, you're signing up for something. You're signing up, Jesus, I appreciate you taking my sin. Here, take my dignity. And so we get to Acts chapter 3. We see that the Spirit was poured out. People began judging the believers. But the Spirit was so present upon them. The conviction comes upon them, and they see that God is in the midst of this because these people aren't running away from what the Holy Spirit is doing. And they ask Peter, you know, wow, what do we do? I don't understand. And we come to probably one of my favorite top three scriptures in the Bible, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter stands and he says to the crowd, he says, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Repent and turn again, that your sins may be washed away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Today I want to talk about how to respond to seasons of revival. How to respond to seasons of revival. I want to talk about this because we're in a very, very unique season in this house. I feel something brewing, very significant. I'm experiencing it in my life, and I don't want you to miss out on it. We saw the beginnings last week as the Holy Ghost was poured out and began doing something significant in people's lives. The fire tunnel we had last week was amazing, yeah? Friday night, the power was so strong Friday night. First thing that Peter says here, he tells the people to repent. Now, early in my Christianity, repent meant stop sinning and feel bad about it. Feel bad about all the things that you did that were wrong. That's not what Peter is saying here. That's not, write that down, repent. Number one, repent. Responding to seasons of revival, number one, repent. What does that mean? We've talked about this recently. And repent in this instance, it talks about renew your mind, change your mind. Let your mind return to other things. Let it be renewed and resharpen your focus. You have to change your mindset. Here, as Christians, we have to believe things that we can't see. We have to believe things that we don't feel. I don't know if any of you have put your fingers in the side of Jesus like Thomas. I personally haven't. Yet I still believe that Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. How do you know that? Well, I know that I know that I know. Just like I know that I'm saved and I know that I'm called to be Pastor Tracy's husband and I know that I'm called to lead this church. I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ was born from a virgin. He never sinned. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven where he's praying for me. One day he's going to walk on this earth in his physical form again. I know that I know that I know that. I know it in my knower. I know it. You have to know things you don't believe. And at some point, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. Has to mean something in your life, even when you don't feel it or believe it. At some point, the Word of God has to be the Word of God. The biggest danger in not trusting the Word of God, personally, let me tell you, personally, the biggest danger, why the enemy comes against the authority of the Word, is because if he can get you not to believe in an ultimate truth, then he can make you believe whatever he wants. The point of it is not, you know, so someone can lord over you. The point of it is if you don't believe that there is an ultimate truth that God has written in this Word, then whatever he puts in your head could be valid. And let me tell you the process of that. At first, he gives you words of pleasure he wants you to believe. And the words of pleasure that he puts in your head are going to go against some of these things that you read in this book. He'll come against authority or come against sanctification, come against holiness. He's like, well, that's not really what the Bible means, and it's okay to have this kind of relationship and God's really love, or, you know, he says, have no father but him, and you start believing that. Yeah. And next thing you know, once he has eroded the foundation of the Word, then he can start bringing the torment that you have no weapon against. Then you start questioning the sovereignty of God. I don't say that to make you fearful. I've seen the pattern enough that I understand that's how it works. If you don't believe that in the authority of the Word of God, then the enemy has an open door to your life to have you question everything that's real. The enemy has a plan. There's a reason he hates the Bible. There's a reason he hates the truth. There's a reason he hates authority. I don't want to go down that road right now. But you got to renew your mind. You have to allow your mind to be renewed. There's times where you have to sit down with somebody and say, you know what, my marriage is, we're having some issues. And I don't want to live like this anymore. And I'm giving you authority, just tell us what you see. That's scary for a couple. That's scary. But when someone sits in front of you in love and says, here's the problem. You're never going to see it on your own because you can't humble yourself enough alone. But if the enemy can get you to come against authority, then you don't have that blessing in your life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Aren't you glad that somebody leads our worship team? It's not five people up there just doing whatever they think is right. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there's a traffic light at the intersection saying, you go, you stop? I'm happy about that. People hate government. I'm like, I like roads. I'm glad when I pick up the phone, it's not somebody else's number at the same time because there's someone regulating that. I'm glad that, you know, I'm the only one who gets to, you know, pull money out of my bank account. I'm into laws. Romans tells me that it's, you know, for my benefit. This government is for my benefit. I'm for it. I'm all for it. Yet we come into spiritual things like, oh, there's no one above. I'm sorry, you were manifesting something there? I didn't quite catch that. It's for my benefit. I've been challenged greatly by the spiritual authority in my life, and I didn't like it at the moment. Anytime it happens, I'm like, that sounds painful. And they're telling me things like, this is your gift. You need to operate in this more. I'm like, well, that's scary. It's better for me to hide over here and make it sound spiritual. You got to change your mindset. You got to change your mindset. When seasons of revival come, you have to change your mindset about what you're capable of. You have to change your mindset about how God wants to use you. You have to change your mindset. When there's an open heaven over your life, things are different. When you're in seasons of revival, things are different. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When the Spirit of God opens over your life, it doesn't matter what your old relationships were like. God's going to change things in new relationships. It doesn't matter what your finances have been like. You have to renew your mind and say, no, that doesn't have to happen in this season. I'm in a season of revival. Breakthrough is right around the corner. I'm here to tell you. When seasons of revival come, I mean, there's a way. Mike has tapped into something. I remember Mike, myself, and someone else met at the office one week. And I just said, There's a season of songwriting coming to this church. We're just going to write something. Remember? We're just going to write songs. Excuse me. And Mikey's always been a writer. But I just said, there's an anointing on this house to write songs. We've always seen it. I'm not seeing it right now. We're just going to write. And we wrote a song, worship song. We've never done it. Wasn't that good? Because one out of the three was actually anointed to do that. But that primed the well. It primed the well. We got songwriters. We got all kinds of songwriters popping up now. Yeah. Seasons of revival, this is what happens. And if you've ever had a heart to write, start writing. Yeah. Start writing songs. There's people in this house, you've been a little musical, you're going to write songs. Yeah. This is what seasons of revival. Oh, I can't do that. No, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. But all things are possible to him who believes. I'm just believing the word of God. I just say in this season, all things are possible. You say, oh, my relationship, my marriage has had this struggle, or my finances. No. They were in struggle. Well, now I'm in season of revival. I have to renew my mind on what's possible for me to do. Are you hearing me? Is anybody hearing me? Are you getting excited yet? You have to renew your mind. You have to repent. You have to repent. These limitations that I placed on myself up until now are no longer valid. What limitations have you placed on your life that God doesn't say is there? As a pastor, what grieves me the most is when people accept the limitations on their life. We see people living in certain ways, and we're just like, we're just going to pray that this person gets a revelation that this is not how they have to live. Do you not like the neighborhood you're living in? You don't have to live there. You don't have to be working for less than you're worth. It doesn't, you know, whatever you did before you got saved, that does not define who you are now. And you can expect a better harvest if you begin walking in the revelation of who you are. You need to renew your mind. You need to repent. You need to repent of your old mindset of fighting for your own rights. Well, if I don't fight for it, people are going to walk all over me. Well, I believe Jesus said if that happens, you'll be blessed. So at the very worst, you'll be blessed. How people treat you doesn't define you. Renew your mind. In seasons of revival, you have to renew your mind. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Number two. Hallelujah. Season. There's open heavens. There's open heavens. I woke up this morning, it was raining. I said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's unusual favor in these times. Ha. My sprinkler pump is broken in my house. I bought it. What's funny was I bought the house. They said it was broken. I was like, I could probably fix it. Yeah, I can't fix it. It's broken, broken. It's that kind of broken you can't fix. You know what I'm saying? And it's like pieces are broken in half. Yeah, like that. And I'll replace it, though. It's not like I'm paying somebody else to fix it. Don't get me wrong. No. I got a philosophy. If you can read, there's nothing you can't learn. If you can read, there's nothing you can't learn. That's what I believe. And I'll just, who's with me, right? There's nothing I can't do. I remember we got our old office. Isabel Pereira came by, and I was up in the rafters rewiring electrical circuits. She's like, what does he not do? I'll let you know when we get there. Tile work, apparently, because I had her husband do the tile work in the bathroom there. And it looks beautiful. Where were they at? Where are the Pereiras? There. Good job. Anybody seen the bathrooms? You can get his business card at the Next Steps table after service. Number two. Number one, renew your mind, repent. Change your mindset. Number two, return to your first love. He says, repent and return. Return. Do you remember, I was talking about this at a life group on Tuesday. I was at the Ron and Courtney's life group in East Boca. Man, the anointing was so strong there, right, Mike? Did you bring that anointing? It was you? Okay, excellent. Strong. So strong. Right, Lillian? So strong. Not like the air conditioner right now. But the anointing was so strong. And God has been talking to me about, you remember when you first got saved? And you remember that fresh presence? You remember there was such a dichotomy between who you were and who God has given you the opportunity to be? And you're so scared of returning to that old person. I would pray. I would wake up at 2 a.m. praying. I would wake up. I would fall asleep praying, and I would wake up still praying. Hours later, and I would witness everywhere I went, and I would be at every service I could attend, and I would be in Bible studies, and I'd be reading, and I would voraciously consume Scripture because I just did not want to return to the person I was. Then after a while, you have an assurance that you're never going to, you know, that's never going to be me again. And then you stop doing the things that you did early on. And next thing you know, the fire has cooled. You were a blazing fire, and you thought the blazing fire was to separate you from who you were, not recognizing that blazing fire is drawing you to who you're called to be. And since you're no longer worried about going back to where you were, the fire begins to cool, and little do you know, you're moving farther away from the flame than you ever were. Because you've experienced it, yet there's no power of it in your life. And Peter here is telling people, you know, you got to repent, but you got to return. You got to return to that first love. You got to return to the flame of desire for Jesus. You got to allow that flame to be stoked in your life. You see, early on, I did things for fear of backsliding, and now I'm recognizing I have to turn those things that were fueled by fear into disciplines to drive me forward. You know what I'm talking about? When I got saved, many of you know my testimony. When I got saved, I didn't have much of a positive self-image. I didn't do well in high school, many of you know, or I guess all of you should know. I got a GED. I dropped out of school when I was very young. Didn't do well in school. School was not very good for me. Didn't do good. It was a bad experience. I don't look back on school with any kind of positive mindset. I did finish in ninth grade. I was pretty proud of that. It took me a couple years, but I did. And dropped out, moved out of my house young, got my GED. And after that, I joined the military, and I was in no hurry to go back to school ever. Because school, to me, only carried memories of pain and failure, and it just wasn't good. And later on, I went to college, and got out of the military, went to college. So I had a friend when I was in the military going to college, and they weren't very bright. And I was helping them study one day, and I was learning it faster than them. I said, I could probably do this. And so I went back to college with something to prove. I wanted to prove that I wasn't an idiot, number one. And so I studied all the time so I could do good. I studied all the time because now these grades were actually making me somebody. They were making me somebody, and it was working to my benefit. I got my AA in really a short amount of time, got accepted to some of the best schools in America, and got scholarships in many of them. I wound up, after traveling here and there, wound up at University of Florida, and I got radically saved. When I got radically saved, I began getting my identity in Christ. And I no longer needed grades to give me worth. And instead of saying, I have the ability to do well, but I don't need to do it for myself, school no longer became important to me. And so here I was near the end of my school career, and my grades were suffering badly because I just didn't care anymore. And that didn't honor God. Because I was still being motivated by fear to do well. Now, God was using that fear for my benefit when I was getting good grades, but then once I no longer had that fear, I had no motivation. And so many of us, when we first get saved, we do all kind of things out of fear of returning to our old man. And yet we don't internalize those things as disciplines. Why do we need good grades? Because that's what you do. You study and you get good grades. Why do I read the Bible? Because as Christians, that's what we do. It just becomes a discipline. Why do I go to intercession? Because as a Christian, that's who I am. Now, remember having a great conversation about this with Mike. If you're not called to ministry, you can do whatever you want with your life. Go for it. You know, follow Jesus, do something great. But if you're called, if you feel called, there's limitations. There's limitations. You know, there's people who are writers, and go write fiction, write whatever you want to write, unless Jesus called you to write for him. And now your subject matter is limited. If you're called to, if you're gifted musically, go into music, do whatever you want to do, make dance music, whatever. Don't sin. Don't defile people. Write whatever you want. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Unless God has called you to be a psalmist. If God has called you to be a psalmist, then you have to limit to that. And really, you know, the evidence of your call is the fruit of your gift. You know, if I'm comfortable using my gift of exhortation to get people to give me money, then I'm probably not called to ministry. If I'm not convicted, then I'm probably not called to ministry. And that's okay. You know, be a sales leader, do business leader, whatever you're doing. If you're comfortable making music that doesn't glorify Jesus, that's okay. It's probably evidence that you're not called to ministry. There's no ministry call in your life. Mike is a gifted psalmist. And he had to come to a place in his walk where he just said, I can't do that music. As fun as it sounds. I don't think he has any illusions of being a famous whatever. I don't even think that's called. He just likes making fun music. He's like, I have to make fun music for Jesus. That's the call in my life, right? You know, I had to lay down my dreams. I was going to be a model. And I had to just give it to Jesus. Just, you know, just other fashion models, they're going to have to be raised up. It's a great void in the fashion industry. Listen, a couple real quick things on returning to your first love. You have to meditate. Is there any way you can text anybody to make the air conditioner work? Is it? Is it blowing? Can we talk about it? Is it blowing now? If Corey and my wife say it isn't, I'd have to go with them. Maybe it's because I'm drinking coffee, not something cold today. Nobody laughed at that. I thought that would be funnier, but hold that. Are we okay? Okay, now, here's some of the ways that you're going to return to your first love. These are sub-points on two. I want you to meditate on the things God has done in your life. Meditate on the breakthrough. Meditate on your testimony. There's a reason that evangelists have such a fire always burning in them, because they're constantly telling their testimony. They're constantly telling their testimony. You can't evangelize without telling people what Jesus did for you. And as you continue to tell your testimony, Christ is near. Doing that same thing, that first love fire is right there. When's the last time you told somebody your testimony? Do it this week. Doesn't have to be the long version. You don't have to tell them every foul thing you ever did, okay? That's not necessary. It's really not necessary. There's other ways. You ever been that? When I wasn't saved and people would tell me their testimony, I'd be like, whoa, people don't talk like that. What are you doing? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then I did this, and I go, God, what's wrong with you? Who does that? You know, you did it too, but you don't tell people about it. What's wrong with you? If I join your club, do I have to tell people those things? No thanks. Meditate on things God has. So you want to cultivate thanksgiving in your heart. Cultivate thanksgiving in your heart. When we have leadership meetings, we just start with testimonies. All we do is we talk about what Jesus has been doing in our midst. So we want to cultivate that testimony in our heart. All right, we're almost done here. Number three, you ready for number three? Let's do this. Stand real quick. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder near you. Don't pack up. I'm not done yet. It felt like there was a lull in the room. I don't want any lull. I want the presence near. Ha! 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 I thought he was manifesting. I was tickling him. Hallelujah! You can stay there. Hallelujah. Come on. Just pray. Just press release it real quick. Come, Mike. You can sit down. Ha. Sit back down. Get ready. Ready number three. You ready? You ready? How to react to times of revival. Are you ready? Ha. 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 Yeah. How to react to times of revival. You ready? You ready, Josh? All right. Turn him down a little bit if you would there. There you go. I want you to expect the nearness of God. I want you to meditate on Him being near. He has some crazy bravado. Vibrato, that's it. Expect times of nearness to God. Mike's doing some troubleshooting over here. What's wrong, Mike? It's not trying to be plugged in? It's rebellious? Tell it to repent. Repent. Tell it to repent. Expect times in the ears of God. Listen, in times of revival, you want to be around people in revival. Who remembers the outpouring? Turn it down just a little bit if you would. Huh. Listen, I want you to expect it. When there's seasons of revival, I want you to expect it. I want you to expect the nearness of God. I want you to do things that you would do when God is near. Let me tell you an important one. Corey touched on it this morning. You want to give radically. Give radically. When there's times of open heavens, you want to sow into it radically. You want to sow into it radically. David Copeland is going to be here next week, and I think it's so such a prophetic time. I want to challenge you. We're going to have an offering next week for missions, to sow into his ministry for Kenya and everything else he's doing. I want you to just really, I want to give radically. I want to, listen, we're not a massive church. I want to be the biggest offering he's gotten all year. Hey, listen, none of it's going to be here. None of it's staying here, so I can say it radically. I want us to give radically next week. God is near. God is near to many people right now. You want to get around that anointing. You get around and figure out what people do when they're in the anointing. I don't know what you're doing on Friday nights. Many of you work. I get that. If you got kids, you're taking care of kids. I get that. If you're able to get in the anointing on Friday nights, it'll change your life what happens in here. Sunday nights is almost as good as Friday nights now. Get around people who are radical. Do radical stuff. Right, Mike? Let's pray. Father, we ask right now. We ask right now. Just begin to ask, Lord, how would I respond? How would you have me respond to these seasons of revival? How would you have me respond to these seasons of revival, Jesus? How would you have me respond? Huh? How would you have me respond? I just really feel like in this season right now that we're in, there's people who are going to begin operating in gifts that you've never operated in before. Specifically, I see gifts of faith coming. Yeah. No, that's it. That's it right there. I see gifts of faith coming. And I feel like there's people in this house, and then, wow. And then, in the next couple weeks, you've been looking for somebody to release you to do what it's in your heart. You've been waiting for somebody else to start it. You've been waiting for somebody else to give you permission. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to give you permission. That's the gift of faith that's going to come upon you. Ha! Come on. Ha! Jesus. Father. See, I've been praying, and I believe the Lord has shown me that some of you is going to get a fresh coal from the altar to touch you with in this season. There's a burning ember with your name on it that he's going to pull off the altar. There's a fresh ember for you in this season. The Lord has shown me, Lillian, there's fresh embers he's pulling off the altar today. Come, Lord Jesus. How would you respond? How will 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 you respond? The Lord showed me fire. He showed me power coming. Come, Holy Ghost. Come on. Just lean into that. Come, Holy Ghost, and you would touch me with times of refreshing. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. You see, the presence of the Lord is here. And you can expect times of refreshing in this presence. You can expect times of refreshing in this presence. Old things have passed away. You say, no, that old person's not me. I'm expecting times of refreshing right now. I'm going to accept times of refreshing right now. I'm expecting it. Times of refreshing. I just seen that many people have been through a time of testing. And I'm here to let you know the season of testing is ending for those who will enter into the times of refreshing. The season of testing is coming to an end for those who will enter into times of refreshing, who will repent and say, it's not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I'll do things according to your plan, not according to mine. I will renew my mind. I'm going to drop my offenses that have built up over time. I'm going to drop the opinions that have blocked out the truth of God's word in my life. I just feel this so strongly. There's many of you who are just one act of obedience away from revival. One act of obedience away from revival. There's just one thing to place on the altar. There's one thing to say yes to. There's one thing. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just lean into it. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is moving right now. Ha! Hallelujah. We're just waiting for the Spirit to come and just touch. I believe there's a ha. Hallelujah. How will you respond? How will you respond? How will you respond? There's somebody with a right hip issue and the Lord is going to heal it right now. Oh, wow. No? Maybe. But I believe the Lord is marking somebody. There's a hip issue happening, and I believe the Lord has given you a Jacob limp. I pray for it to be healed anyways, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Ha, whoa, there we go. Here we go right there. Come on. Come on. Go on. God is doing something right now. You got to make a decision. Are you going to lean into it or not? I'm not having a formal altar call. I don't feel it. But I feel like there's people that you're like, oh, well, this is okay in my life. And God's like, no, it really isn't. And just because you agreed on it, this doesn't make it all right. You have to renew yourself to your new identity. You have to renew yourself to your new identity. Come on. Come on. You have to renew yourself to your new identity. Whoa. Yeah. Come on. There's an open heaven right now. You need to lead into that. I don't know what it means, Travis, but it means something. Hallelujah! Ha! There you go. Ha! Come, Holy Ghost of God. Ha! Remo. Lucas, come. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on, you need to lean into this. Come on. The angel of the Lord is here. The angel of the Lord is here. Come on. Come on. I don't want to manufacture anything here. Whoa. But he's here. Come on.